if that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Yeah. I don't really feel like singing.
Back in town.
I didn't want to do it, but I made a promise to you people. Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. That's right, Met fans. Today's your day. Give me a call, 888-808-1019. 888-1019. 808-1019. That's right. I don't even want to say the number correctly. Don't call me. What the hell? I'm furious. I'm not happy. Congratulations to the Mets as they have now taken 3 of 4 at the bare minimum. Looking for the sweep later today with the Yankees' only hope, Gerrit Cole, on the mound. But they have done what they needed to do. The Mets came in and at least guaranteed themselves the series victory, guaranteed themselves a split of the two at Yankee Stadium. And along the way, they just, you know, they got in late. They were sleepy. And so it was nice of the Yankees to completely ruin the day before it even started, and I know that's where a lot of Yankee fans are, with just the actual, the viewing of the lineup was enough to piss you off, let alone the game where so many different things happened, where the Mets, you know, made mistakes, whether it's Jeff McNeil not scoring on a ball to the wall from second base, Nunez dropping a easy toss from Alonso to allow Grisham to make it to first base to start a rally, or whether it's walking Aaron Judge 4 separate times. Now, the Mets played well. Quintana had a decent curveball. Again, I was at the game. I was in the press box, so I didn't get to watch the broadcast. Anything said on the broadcast, I didn't see. I didn't see every single pitch perfectly because I'm watching from the press box. But it looked like he had a good curveball for 5 innings. He pitched relatively well compared to the way he's been pitching. Even Luis Gil pitched relatively well in this game. But the story of this game, unfortunately, even for you Met fans, I'm going to throw your bouquets. I'm going to give you your flowers. You came into Yankee Stadium. You played well. You pitched well. Jeff McNeil, who I spent a lot of time talking about last night, both him and Glaber, like they were listening yesterday. Both him and Glaber go deep. Early on in the game, I was ready to beat my chest. Told you I'd rather have Glaber. Hits the home run to give the Yankees a 1-0 lead, and that's about the only offense they freaking got in this game, and a bunch of things about this game pissed me off, but let's get to what everybody wants to talk about, because I know what you want to talk about. You want to talk about the lineup, you want to talk about this roster, and you want to talk about the atrocious offense that is the New York Yankees right now, and make no mistake, it's atrocious. And we could say whatever we want about the lineup, and sure, I was pissed off looking at the lineup. I tweeted it out. For me, there's a couple of different things in this. One, the thing for me is two different things. One's not even being spoken about. Oswaldo Cabrera should be in this lineup. I'm tired of it. I got to be honest with you. I've seen enough. I know DJ LeMahieu had a home run yesterday, and 2 days ago, for the first sign of life. And I feel like Yankee fans would have been, a section of Yankee fans would have been pissed off and getting on Boone if he didn't play. Oh, he finally showed the pulse and hit a home run. Now you bench him. There are no good options. That's what you take away from this Yankee lineup. Yes, I understand. I want to see Austin Wells play. He's been one of their better offensive players. He's been their cleanup hitter. Now, he's a catcher. I understand you're not going to play him all the time, but they're off on Thursday heading into the Friday weekend series against Boston. There's no reason why Austin Wells shouldn't be in this lineup. None. And for me, Oswaldo Cabrera, I understand he's a switch hitter who's practically giving up hitting right-handed. But he's been a little bit of a spark plug. He was a spark plug at the start of the year. He's been, over the last couple of games, playing. He played for Torres the other day. He's someone who needs to be in this game. For me, I'm tired of him not playing when the options are terrible, including DJ LeMay, who now can't play third base and turns little ground balls into doubles in the 9th inning. But I have to admit, when I look at this team and I look at this roster, we can come up with a million different reasons why the Yankees did what they did. And let me just say this too. No, I don't believe it was some sort of message from Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman. I don't think there's some deep real reason behind it to try and manufacture some sort of trade or whatever nonsense we want to talk about. Here's the fact of the matter, and it's not overly analytic either. I don't need analytics to look at batting average. And the New York Yankees have not hit left-handed pitching to save their lives over this stretch. Over the last 2 months, they don't hit lefties. Now, yes, Quintana and Minaya, who's going to pitch tonight, are not Randy Johnson. They are not ultimate, devastating, tough, impossible at-bats for lefties to hit lefties. And yeah, I think there is an overreaction to the New York Yankees after scoring 9 runs yesterday to throw that lineup at you. I do think there's an overreaction. But I remember sitting in this very chair with Evan 2 weeks ago on Friday as they were about to go play Baltimore. And Jones was in the starting lineup, and I was pissed off about it. Jones doesn't play. I don't care what his numbers are against lefties. He's hitting 350 against lefties. Evan's yelling at me, telling me, why are you upset? He hits 350 against lefties. And I yelled. I said, Evan, he doesn't play. How could you put him in the lineup? I don't care. It's minimal at bats. Blah, 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 blah. I did a whole segment on it with Evan in the afternoon. And then he had 2 hits, but he had good at bats and a base hit up the middle for an RBI against Baltimore in a game they won. This Yankee lineup is so bad against lefties, even in a short sample size, I understand playing Jones. I do. I know I'm in the minority. I'm going to tell you what else. I understand playing J.D. Davis as well. Call me crazy. They traded for him to play against lefties. Yes, he hasn't played in a while. Yes, he hasn't had a good stretch here for the New York Yankees. Yes, he was cut by the Oakland A's, which has as much to do about money as him playing and his ability to play as anything else. But they're taking a flyer on this guy, and we've seen it over the last handful of years. The Yankees get these guys in. Right now, they're down Stanton. They're waiting for Dominguez. They're waiting for the trade deadline. The lineup against the lefties have been putrid. They haven't faced a lefty in forever. They're going to throw J.D. Davis in there. Ben Rice is 2 for his last 28. He's a young kid. I have no problem playing J.D. Davis. You can't hit him cleanup. I don't have so much a problem with Jones hitting leadoff. I don't, because I don't know what the answer is. They're hitting Ben Rice leadoff. They haven't had a leadoff hitter all year. The last couple leadoff hitters have been Ben Rice, DJ LeMahieu, Volpe, who had to get sent down because he couldn't cut it to start the year, was Gleyber Torres. He couldn't cut it. Like, we could scream all we want about the lineup, and you're not wrong. You're not wrong that he's hitting that J.D. Davis is hitting cleanup. And it bothered me to look at it. And watching the game, yes, obviously Judge gets walked 4 times. It's the story of the game. You're taking the bat out of the hands of the best hitter in all of baseball, let alone your lineup. It's impossible to watch. It's frustrating to watch. But here's what I'll tell you. Who's better? I know that sounds crazy because it's J.D. Davis. But let me ask you. All we do is say how much Verdugo sucks. All we do is talk about how last night I took call after call that Gleyber Torres shouldn't be on the team. DJ LeMahieu's washed. There are no good options against a left-handed hitting team. And we can get riled up. The manager made a decision to try something, and it blew up in his face. It was a miserable night for Aaron Boone. And I don't believe he's a puppet, and I don't believe he's being told what to do. They have conversations every day. They talk this over, and yet, are there suggestions brought his way? Yes. He signs the lineup card. It's on him. I don't blame anybody else for the lineup, construction at least, than Aaron Boone. The players he has to choose from is more to the point than which order we... And it's funny, all week long we're talking about Severino. Oh, he said they only have 2 good hitters. He's 100% right. All they have is 2 good hitters. All the rest is garbage. All they have is 2 good hitters. The rest is garbage. And then we go nuts about what order they put the garbage in. And me too. I couldn't stand to look at it, but let's be honest. The offense is atrocious. I know they scored 9 runs yesterday. I get it. And Wells absolutely should be in this game. Does it really change it? I understand maybe not 4 times. Maybe Judge doesn't get walked 4 times if someone else is hitting behind him. Maybe not. But you're telling me right now with the options they have, be it Verdugo, be it Ben Rice, be it Wells, be it anybody you want, they're not going to walk Judge in a big spot? They're not going to walk Judge in a big spot? Of course they are. Of course they are. The fact of the matter is the lineup and the roster are atrocious. And it doesn't matter which order you put the garbage in. I hated the lineup too. I'm not saying I didn't. I'm not saying I didn't look at it and say J.D. Davis is just coming off the first stomach bug IL in the history of baseball. He hasn't played since 4th of July, and he wasn't good when he played. And his at-bats last night weren't. From watching it, you could tell. You know what's funny too? Because the last time I was in the press box was the first game in Ben Rice's career against Baltimore. And the first two swings Ben Rice took were the ugliest things I've ever seen. And I remember thinking to myself and like looking around and everybody saying, oh my God, these swings are atrocious. And then obviously Ben Rice has snapped out of that. And obviously even later in that game, every swing from J.D. Davis was that Ben Rice swing. Every one. He was terrible. When he wasn't striking out, he's hitting into double plays. Jones at the top of the order was terrible. Who's the better option? You want to move just based on lefty and righty? Volpe leadoff, sixth. We complain about giving guys like this. My point about this is we argue about some of the same things that we want to see. We want to see the same lineup every night. Same lineup every night. We want the same lineup every night. But then against the lefty, we got to move Volpe out of five and six. Why? He's been there every day for the last 2 weeks. I thought we want consistency. But no, he should be moved up for the one spot start against the Mets and then moved back to five or six. I hear it all the time. They're a creature of habits. I don't understand. Put him somewhere. Keep him there. That's it. Why are we messing around, changing the lineup every day? But we should be moving Volpe around. There are no good options for the New York Yankees particularly against left-handed pitching. There is nobody the Yankees have right now who could make anyone want to pitch to Aaron Judge. Is J.D. Davis the worst of the options? I don't disagree, and I can't tell you why he's hitting cleanup other than they traded for him. He's hit lefties in his career, and they're trying to get a spark. They're hoping he can come through with a big at-bat. It was stupid. I hated it. And you could point to it's the reason why they lost. They lost 3-2, no doubt. The offense is the reason they lost. They pitched relatively well. Tompkin gave up, you know, he's been giving up some runs lately, but I feel like he's done a pretty damn good job. He had a terrible night. Everything was smoked, including, obviously, the enormous McNeil home run. And give it to Jeff McNeil. That's his fourth home run since the All-Star break. Four. He's been absolutely killing it. He just feels hitterish. He made an incredible blunder on the base path. I can't believe he didn't score on a ball that Verdugo should have made. And Verdugo, I know he comes through the double, but even his defense is suffering now. That's a play he makes every single time in the first 2 months of the year. He makes that play. Remember that play he made up against the wall against Boston when he had to play center field? He makes that catch and runs into the wall early on in the year. All the great plays, the diving catches in the first week of the season against the Astros, all of it. And now he can't make the play when he's not falling down to cost them the biggest game of the year. Like, we could blame the manager for all of this. We can. I'm open to it. And then he goes after in the post game and tells you they had good at-bats with men in scoring position when they were 1-for-9 and all of the at-bats were terrible. And dumb decisions. Now, I don't know if they asked him in the post game if he called the bunt for Verdugo, but there's a situation where they actually have something going. Right? Volpe gets on, steals a base. Torres walks. First and second. Nobody out. Here comes Verdugo. And he bunts him over. And I'm sure everybody who loves small ball and calls me about bunts thinks, hey, great play. Two guys in a scoring position. Except one thing. Navarez is up and he stinks. And he's just getting his feet wet in the major leagues. And you just put the innings at his feet. The inning now to score runs is at the feet of your eight-hitter, young catcher who barely has played in Major League Baseball. Now the inning is predicated on him coming through. Instead of Verdugo, who's been an average to slightly above average Major League Baseball player his entire career. That is chicken crap. That is scared baseball. And it bothers the hell out of me. And that's what's going on up and down this lineup. Jones, J.D. Davis, DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, Volpe, you name it, Grisham. Everybody. Everybody outside the only two hitters. We say that, but we don't want to practice it. We say it. They only have two hitters. They only have two hitters. And yet, when we jumble up the garbage, we're all mad at the order of the garbage. The fact of the matter is the Mets are the better team right now. The fact of the matter is the Mets have a much more complete top-to-bottom lineup with many more threats. You saw hard hit balls from Vientos. You saw a hard hit ball in the gap from Taylor. You saw just two hits from Alonso, who's been struggling. You saw Bader rope some balls even caught in center field. The threats are up and down the lineup for the New York Mets. The Yankees don't have any. And yes, J.D. Davis cleanup is a joke. It's a joke. But here's the fact of the matter. The entire lineup is a joke. And when the manager is presented with the first lefty in a while, and J.D. Davis, who the general manager brought in here because he hits lefties, and you got Jones, who isn't on this team for anything else other than to pinch run, and he's hit 350 against lefties, the manager took a chance, and it failed miserably. Miserably. He decided to sandwich the only two hitters in this lineup with guys who don't play and who haven't played and who aren't very good, but theoretically hit lefties. It made no sense. Totally with you. But when I look at it, it's hard for me to go, oh my God, this is how they lost. This is why they lost. This is the reason they lost. When we spew it day after day after day that there's only two good hitters. So which bad hitters should we rather have? In which number? In which order should we put the garbage around Soto and Judge? Well, that would guarantee pitching to Judge. That would guarantee runs scored. That would guarantee a win against the Mets last night. I'd love to hear it. Because as much as I hate the lineup, the fact of the matter is it's not a punt lineup. The fact of the matter is the Yankees aren't unserious, which has become a new popular word surrounding the New York Yankees. The Yankees honestly thought that was the best option they have. And we can laugh at it, but they're not far off. And Wells is a catcher who's going to get some days off. And you know, as much as I appreciate Ben Rice, and he hit a ball that would have been a home run in 17 other ballparks besides the New York Yankees, besides the Yankee Stadium, he's two for his last 28. They traded specifically, they picked up a guy specifically because he hit lefties. He can't play against the lefty? He cannot? I'm sorry, I understand why they tried to play him. I understand why Jones played. Now, 1-4, I don't agree with, but we can argue all day long about what order they put the slop in. Fact of the matter is, it's slop. And here's my resounding recovery. They have Stanton coming back. They have Jason Dominguez coming back. And they have the trade deadline. The Yankees are 17 games over 500. The Orioles just lost to Miami last night. They are the first wild card, and they are a game and a half out of first place. And they are going to be a different lineup come August. Doesn't mean they'll be successful, and we can argue about them then, and we'll see what it is. But right now, this is not the team you are going to see for the stretch run. They are going to make moves. They are going to get back Stanton. You are not going to see J.D. Davis. You are not going to see Jahmy Jones. Shouldn't have seen him last night. I'm with you. But the fact of the matter is they don't have a good lineup against lefties. And yeah, the Mets exposed it last night. And we've had games like this for the New York Yankees where against the Red Sox, the inability for catchers to throw out people gets exposed. Last night, everyone's talked about it for a long time about walking Judge, and we've seen it in certain scenarios in a bunch of different games. But last night, it was really reinforced that you are not going to pitch the Judge. And yes, J.D. Davis is a terrible option, but tell me again, who's a threat in this lineup where you have to pitch the Judge? Because he doesn't exist. 888-888-1019. And then, of course, again, the Mets. You got no Diaz. Jake Diekman comes in and does an incredible job and goes after Judge instead of putting the runner on second base for the tying run and goes right after him and strikes him out looking in the biggest at bat of the game. They're able to come through. They're able to get just enough offense. They're able to overcome a bad play by Nunez at first base. They're able to overcome, score enough, and Jeff McNeil, who can be a catalyst for this team and could be a huge difference moving forward. If you are going to get this Jeff McNeil, the Mets are a different team. And yes, some other guys have cooled off. Nimmo's cooled off. J.D. Martinez has cooled off. Alvarez, who didn't come in to pinch hit with the bases, was it the bases loaded? I thought that was a spot for Alvarez to come in and pinch hit, but they decided to keep him on the bench and give him a full day off of the no-sleep travel expedition they had last night. So, but he's cooled off. But if Jeff McNeil can be what we've seen here and give you good at-bats as well as home runs, and if the bullpen is going to find ways, I mean, Ottavino was terrible, but besides that, the bullpen came in, did its job against this lousy Yankee offense, and right now they continue their winning ways as the Yankees are what they are, which is two good hitters. And we'll spend the rest of the next 2.5 hours arguing about which order we should have put the garbage in. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's take one call before the break here just to get the fans involved on this Subway Series recap. What's up, Tim? Tim in Hicksville. How we doing?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, I'm listening to you. You make a lot of sense about the Yankees. Make a lot of good points. I don't think it's any time to... I'm a Mets fan, but obviously the talk right now. I mean, they're playing each other, and there's a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Yankees tomorrow. But
we'll get into it in a little bit. Tomorrow's a huge game for Gerrit Cole. Tomorrow's a huge game for the New York Yankees. You can't lose all four. And just more than that, you're heading into a Boston series. They've been struggling. I know they won tonight against Colorado, but they've been struggling as well. This is a huge series against a division rival that's nipping on their heels to try and overtake them in the wild card standings. You know, these are big games. Every game is big right now. It's just the fact of the matter is the Yankees are not going to be the team we're going to see in a week and a half, hopefully.
Agreed. Now, when is Dominguez? I'm going to go. Well, when is Dominguez? And I know Stanton's like a week away. When is Dominguez? Because you're totally right. Once you can throw those two guys back, then they're cooking.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they'll cook, but at least they'll have different chefs in there. And right now, it's just, it's just not good enough. It's not enough talent. So, I mean, it sounds like Stanton could be days away. I think they're probably going to forego a rehab assignment. And I don't know. They just optioned Dominguez to AAA. I think they want to give him at least 2 or 3 weeks, I would think, to get him going a little bit. So he's probably 2 or 3 weeks away at the bare minimum. Right. Judge is about, Stanton, excuse me, could be a couple days away. Hopefully maybe for the back end of the Red Sox series or right after that. And then, the trade deadline comes on the 30th, and they are going to add pieces. They are going to add pieces.
Thanks for the time.
Oh, no problem. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of your calls next. Recapping the Subway Series, we got to get to Hard Knocks as well, as I just finished the episode not too long ago. Giants, John Mara, the draft, a lot going on. A questionable take from the Giants wide receiver coach. And then, of course, Hassan Riddick holding out of Jet Camp and all the different information we're getting, reports of when he was offered a contract, what he was told to the Jets, what they believed before all this. We got to get to the Hassan Riddick situation as Rodgers showed up to camp, which I'm surprised is a headline. Rodgers at camp. Well, I mean, I understand he went to Egypt for an OTA, but I expected him at camp.